Welcome to Expedition Self on OM Times Radio with lifelong learner, entrepreneur, and creator of the worlds of Expedition Self, Sam Perato. Sam shares 4 decades of studying, guiding, and teaching how to go inside so we can build an incredibly powerful, dynamic, and validating relationship with the self. Expedition Self is laced with stellar, unexpected insights about what it means to be human. Listen now and ignite your self-development process with Sam Perato.
Well, hello. You are listening to Expedition Self, and I am Sam Perato. Today, we're going to talk about a whole bunch of little bits of life and hopefully weave them together to give you a new way to think about going inside. You know, I have to tell you, something happened to me about 2 hours ago. I was in a meeting with clients. And I'm telling you because I can't kind of shake it out of my head, like what happened. But basically, you know, I'm on these Zoom calls all the time, and I am supposed to call on people to like talk in some kind of, so everyone gets called on. And somebody shared a perspective about the meeting and how it was going. And I was so kind of taken aback that the next thing I knew, I couldn't remember who talked. So I repeat called on somebody. Then I couldn't remember from that point who talked, because now I was all caught up in the fact that I couldn't remember who talked. It was the weirdest thing. And no matter how much I tried to like grab a hold of it and get my head back into it, I really couldn't. So the entire end of the meeting was spent with the group like laughing because I couldn't. It was almost like my brain just went on shutdown. I don't know about any of you, but I have these things happen every once in a while when something gets in my psyche and I can't shake it. And I'm always, I guess, just left a little dumbstruck, and I feel a little embarrassed, of course. But there are these human moments, right? And you just hope that you're surrounded by people who have room, right? So anyway, what a weird way to come into the show today. So along those lines, I want to say I actually find it kind of challenging each week to talk about just one subject. And so when I chose this topic for today, like in this venue, I thought, you know what, I'm going to talk about stuff that's kind of looks random, but actually I don't think is random. So I was expecting today to feel a little easier for me. And at the same time, I'm hoping it will give you a chance to call in and talk about what is actually on your mind, because in essence, there's no topic for you to fit in, because, right, it's all life, and anything we talk about is life. So, okay. So I would love to hear from you. You can talk about anything. You can share anything that has to do with kind of a growth angle or going inside. The number is 202-570-7057. So, okay. Well, I want to spend a bit of time on this idea of the flashlight on self. You know, it is the most central and essential thought that you can possibly have about growth work in your life. And in fact, if it was the only idea you ever cultivated, the only commitment you ever invested yourself in and practiced with, I'm absolutely convinced you would evolve in a much more accelerated way. And so the reason for this is because we spend a ton of time in everybody else's experience. We use other people's actions to justify our own, because we're so focused on the other all the time. So if you think about the flashlight on the self, picture this flashlight, right? The light, and it really only illuminates what it's pointing at. And so I'm saying it's pointing at you. It's pointing inside the self. Then you're always seeking your inner experience and your feelings and your thoughts, right, as the original source, the core place that it all is happening, right? That's that place. So here's an example, okay? A couple of years ago, I was trying to refinance my house, and I had to go through the process a couple of times before I had to find more than one source before I was actually able to get the loan. So you can imagine that I had a number of conversations with people who were all about filling out their paperwork, right? You can hear the annoyance, right, in my voice. So my flashlight is out when I say that, because I'm describing what they're doing. I'm implying what motivates them. And of course, what I didn't say was that them being all about the paperwork and their process triggers a whole bunch of feelings for me, because I don't feel right like they're all about me and making it comfortable for me. So I end up, again, I felt unimportant and constrained and belittled and small. There were even moments I felt, you know, ashamed or embarrassed. So that's what was going on for me. So when my flashlight is truly on me in that example, I'm not really going to focus on what they did or didn't do. I'm not going to put it in some box. I'm not going to assess it, right? I'm going to notice it because it's obviously brought up stuff for me, right? I'm not going to get locked into the idea that the other person mishandled things. And I'm not going to look for who was wrong and who was right. And instead, I'm going to look at why those feelings are present for me because of who I am, you know, in my life. And I'm going to connect these with the way I related to my parents as a child, right? Because all of that original relationship has a lot to do with how I go out into the world. And I'm going to bring them into myself and really feel them in my body and notice how, you know, debilitating it is to feel unimportant or trapped in a conversation I don't want to be in. And I'm going to notice how much I resist feeling all of that, right? This is the flashlight on the self. It's this incredible amount of self-noticing. So I'm learning about myself, how I process life, how I experience feelings in my body, how I run from discomfort, and how scary it is to go into the world and actually look for help, you know, actually look for someone to help me along my path. So this is a true discipline of self-development. It's a practice. And I can't begin to describe the significance and importance of this in helping you really get yourself as the power source of your own life. And of course, at the end of the day, our power outages, think of it as like literally the places where we're trucking along and then somebody pulls the cord out of the wall and the light goes out, right? That's a power outage inside the self. And the lack of connection to ourselves as the single power source of our lives, it's the thing that interferes with literally everything, everything you ever wanted. So, okay, we got that out. Right? Got that out. So let's talk about what do you do when you get annoyed with people? So given all that I just talked about, I'd hope you say, well, I put my flashlight on them because that's what happens. Right? Because really that's what we're saying is that when we have these feelings and these thoughts, even though we want to put the flashlight on ourselves, most of the time our first response is to put the flashlight on them. So it's like this. You feel annoyed, flashlight on them. You feel hurt, flashlight on them. You feel disappointed, flashlight on them. And even you feel happy, a lot of times the flashlight is still on them. So when we get annoyed, we're totally ready to blame the other person for causing us this discomfort. And what annoys you? I think it's anything that gets in the way of where you're trying to go. Literally anything, right? We just don't want to have to slow down or adjust or respond to stuff that gets in the, that interferes. So if you're driving down the highway and there's traffic, well, that's annoying. And if you're trying to pay your electric bill and your computer goes, you know, like on the fritz, that's annoying. And if you're trying to get your grocery shopping done and there's someone in line in front of you who can't find those two dimes and two pennies to make perfect change and you want to get home, well, that's annoying. So what is that really for you? Let's get honest in here. When you get annoyed, there's probably a little self-importance buried in there, a little dominance, like being in the lead, or willfulness, you know, some of that, I want it the way I want it, and you have gotten in my way. But most of us don't want to see these kinds of not nice qualities about ourselves. So it's easier to make it about them, to be annoyed and then have a grumbly story to share with others. Sometimes we have a lot of fun about that, right? Get a lot of juice out of that. Or we use it as a justification later when we get home and we don't feel emotionally available to someone. I actually see that a lot. And if I could just put a little tag in this moment, you know, when you think about all the people that you love and all the deep commitment you have to living a great life, and yet there are these places where we justify and give ourselves permission, right, to play that out with other people instead of really, really be responsible, self-responsible for what's going on for us. So anyway, another reason we get annoyed is because we feel misunderstood or not seen. Like trying to talk to a publisher about the book you're writing and they dismiss you. I was watching a video today with Sam Elliott, who I don't know if you know who he is, but he's a longtime actor with this amazing voice. And he was talking about an experience he had when he was early in trying to, get work as an actor. And so he took he had gotten some pictures taken. He was working as a construction day worker. And he goes to this meeting with this guy. And he gives him his photos. And the gentleman sits across the table from him. And he says, son, I'm going to give you two pieces of advice, as he pushes the pictures back to Sam Elliott. And he says, the first is you need to go back home, which I didn't quite get this piece when Sam was talking about it. He said, but the second is you're going to have to lose that accent, that whole thing that goes along with your voice. And this is a guy who went on to be completely renowned for his voice. So I don't know, when I was watching it, I thought, that's it, right? Those moments, we get so annoyed, right? Because they're dismissive of who we are. They don't really see us. They don't really celebrate or pay attention or respect really the true effort that we're putting out. Another example, when we get annoyed, right? We're working with an IT vendor, and the more you try to describe, no, I keep losing content, or no, my computer just won't. It won't get to that piece of software I want, right? That you're struggling with. And then they keep talking over you. They don't really listen. And you keep saying, no, it's not that. And then they get even stronger, right? We get annoyed. You know, I was talking to someone last night who works in an insurance company. And every time I'd ask a question, she'd say, I want to finish my entire conversation with you and then I'll answer. So it was like I was going to hear her spiel whether I wanted to or not. So when someone takes over a conversation and they don't really listen, right? They don't really engage in this kind of easy back and forth, I definitely don't feel seen and I get frustrated. And I start to feel trapped or held hostage. Do you know that every single day in my life, I must hear 15, 10, something like that, stories about something that annoys somebody. It takes up a big part of my conversations with people, because as human beings, we are annoyed or aggravated or frustrated all of the time. And we have lots of words to describe it besides even the three that I'm using. It's this kind of irritation, right? That's just always waiting in the wings. I just want to point out one more reason I think we get annoyed, and that's when our fears are triggered. You know, my son had a teacher in the third grade who I felt annoyed with all of the time, to the point that I decided I didn't like her. And it was all because the way she talked and the way she saw me and my relationship with my son, it felt super, super threatening to his well-being. I didn't feel like he was being seen or that she was really being sensitive to his needs. So why am I going on and on and on about being annoyed? Well, it's because I don't think we address this enough in our self-development. You know, we'd rather focus on love and peace and becoming all that we can be. But there's this percentage of time that we're spending in this pocket of real human experience, all of us. And I think we tend to write it off as just life. And so then we don't see it as an area to work on ourselves, right? We just think it's a circumstance of the day or a circumstance of the situation we're in. Because, you know, at the end of the day, being annoyed, actually, if we didn't write it off, it's a gateway to huge, huge, huge amounts of self-development. But you have to stop normalizing and dealing with it. You have to see it as something to work on and transform. So here's the question. How much time every day or every week do you spend being annoyed, frustrated, irritated, triggered, aggravated? And what are the situations that cause it? Maybe there's even a pattern here, right? Certain kinds of circumstances really get you going. And can you see where you don't keep your flashlight on yourself? And then how do you handle the frustration after you go through it, right? That's a big question. So I'm going to leave you with that thought. And when we return from break, I'd love to hear the answer to that question or anything else that's going on in life that you want to share with us. So the number I'm going to give it to you so you can get ready is 202-570-7057. Which is, how do you handle all that frustration when you're annoyed?
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
COVID-19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
If you're feeling increasingly lonely right now, you're not alone. It's totally normal. Even though we may not be able to get together in person, connecting virtually with friends and family still gives you a chance to interact with people and may help raise your spirits. Join a virtual book club, set up group text chats, or online video coffee breaks with coworkers.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
Well, hello, you are back. This is Expedition Self. I'm Sam Parado, and we're having kind of a different conversation today. We're talking about a whole bunch of pieces that work together to help you go inside. And hopefully, by listening to the show today, you're going to look at some areas of your life that you might have just accepted as, oh, well, that's just the way it is, and consider them instead walkways or doorways or bridges to doing exploring more about who you are. You know, on break, but I had asked before we went to break, how do you handle your frustration? What's annoying to you, right? And producer Chris, he said, I get annoyed by all the political conversation on social media. And so I appreciate that. And I wanted to share it with all of you because this is what can be fun about really thinking from a different vantage point about where we're annoyed and how that can be an opportunity to get that flashlight on ourselves. So, okay, the number you can call in is 202-570-7057. So what do you do? How do you handle your frustration? So do you use it to justify your actions later in the day, right? I mentioned that. Do you stuff it in? And then it comes out when you're talking about something completely unrelated. Or maybe you blow up right in the moment. You get uppity or pissy or snarky, right? Who you are being when you feel these things. It's huge. It's simply a huge play area for the self, because it's where we just accept that this is life and our reactions to it. But really, they're a place where we give ourselves permission to let stuff just fly and not really own and be a container for our entire inner experience. Okay, so we're going to leave annoyance, and now we're going to talk about, get ready for this, because you're going to be like, what? I want to talk about how you handle money. Do you spend more than you have? Do you hoard it because you're afraid it'll just flow through your fingers? You have a relationship with money, and it likely has power over you, and you're probably in some kind of a constant negotiation with it that you may not even realize. It likely represents something like security or power. But the key to really looking at money is to get honest about the nature of this relationship for you. So if you think of money as your energy flowing out into the world and then returning back to you, well, whenever there's an imbalance inside of that flow, then money will get disrupted, right? So how do you share your money? And do you have money to share? How do you take care of yourself? And how does money fit into this? If money is a reflection, which is what I'm actually saying, of your creative expression in the world, then what can you learn about how that goes? Do you actually hold back what you really want to be doing? And I want to clarify, when I say creative expression, I don't mean like art. I mean, you are a creative being because you're human. And as a creative being, you're creating life. You're creating a job you love. You're creating a family that you feel supported and comfortable in. You're always creating, right? You don't have to have a corner on being the most artistic person. Right? So I'm going to say this again. Do you hold back what you really want to be doing? And here's another one. Do you ask for what you believe you are worth? Are you putting more emphasis on the validation of money versus you being the source of that money? So what I mean by that is like, oh, I have it. Right? It's coming to me, or it's out there, or I don't have it, rather than how do I cultivate my appreciation, my interrelationship with the idea of money and what that brings for me. So we're back to you being the source of things. And the more you get this concept, the more you feel it in your body, the more you operate from there, then the more you'll be this source I keep talking about. See, it's funny because even when I think about doing these shows, I struggle with how to help you wrap your arms around, your head around, what does it mean to be the source? It's the place where the substance exists. The source is the beginning, where your life emerges from. You're the cause, the center, the foundation. Everything comes from it. Everything goes back to it inside self. So you can see what you think that someone else, or when you think that someone else is like controlling your money, or some institution has something to do with what you have or what you don't, you're not really seeing yourself as the source of it. You're seeing yourself on the receiving end of it. It's as if you don't have any direct impact on what you get or what you don't get. I think the growth space that goes with money is looking at your survival stuff from when you were little and then actually charting it through your life. There's a ton to see about how money got related to through your family and community, right? Was every napkin torn in half to save money? Right? Was there a place where you felt like you couldn't participate in school activities or community activities because there wasn't money available to allow you to participate? I'm talking about money like a not have enough, but there's also the whole thing about what you spend money on, where families decided that that was worth the investment, and then where they didn't. There's also how money was used to get you to fall in line or get you to do the right things, like allowance, right? So this, was there enough? It didn't seem like it was out of reach. And this question, which is, was it something you actually had any influence over? So if you're going to get yourself at the source of your money, then you're going to have to see the source of your relationship to it. And money often translates to a sense of powerlessness for us. And you know, if you've been listening to my show for a while, I talk about this all of the time. I keep hoping that as you listen, you realize powerlessness is under almost every single moment of us living and interacting with life. So if you want to think about how you're relating to money, how you're going to create more of that in your world and have a more empowered relationship with it, you're going to want to sort that out to get honest with the places you feel powerless around money. Because here's the big news, you're not powerless around it, right? We're really not powerless. We are the place where you can think differently about things, where you can get out of your own way. And some of these conversations are the ones I'm trying to help you get your arms around so you can actually do some of that. I know you likely have been or experienced powerlessness around money. And to get yourself in the generating place of the money conversation is to see where you do buy into this idea that you're powerless. So I want to connect the I'm annoyed conversation with this one about money. So if you don't get a ton of ownership around how often you are annoyed and frustrated and resisting what's going on, you in essence are going to be at some level powerless because you're really just a reaction. You're not really putting a stake in the ground for what's happening for you. And then if this is going on in your life, then some abundance is going to be affected. It's like an equation, right? What I'm actually saying is the amount of annoyance you experience that you blow off, right? If you add that, it's really you subtract that then from your capacity to generate your own sense of power, right? So then if you subtract it from that, now you have less, that by the time you get to the place of making money, working with money, putting money to use in your life, you're actually working with less of yourself than you would be. That's really, if you can start playing with that as an equation, then what happens is you're able to bring the full, I want to say force. It's like the full force of who you are to the table. So money is on the top of that list, right? Because why wouldn't we want to be more abundant? And really, when I talk to people, money is at the source of so many of their decisions to do things and to not do things. There's a lot of stress around money in people's lives. So, you know, to me, it's like, well, let's go to where the stress is. Let's really actually do the self-development work that goes with that. Because what I'm saying is that when you get less reactive, when you keep that flashlight on yourself and you start to look at your relationship with money and get yourself at the source of that, you're then going to likely create a lot more flow and money will become more in whatever way you're working with it. Okay, this is a good time to just take a pause here. So we've talked about flashlight on the self. We've talked about being annoyed and how we just accept that as part of life rather than really utilizing that to go inside and really get connected to where that's a bother for us or where that's a point of activation. So now let's add in being stuck, which is like staying in things that don't really make your heart soar or where there is little movement or you feel constrained or trapped. You know, participating in relationships or situations that you truly don't want, staying in a relationship for longer than is needed, or in a job, or thinking you have to interact or work with your children in a particular way that looks like it's the only way to do it, even if you don't like how it's going. So when we get stuck, sometimes we don't even know we are, because it just looks so normal. Like, this is what life is. You know, if I can inspire in our conversation just a little bit of to say, there is nothing about life that has to be the way it is. Now, even if you don't get it all shifted or moved or reflective of what you want, just the taking that on as an idea, nothing has to look the way it is. Just the taking that on in the places where you've bought into the idea that you can't do anything about it is going to be transformational for you. You'll just see things start to move. So one of the best ways to tell that you're stuck is to look at your energy level. Now, I don't know, like, I think of energy like on this thermometer. So it literally, it can go up one degree at a time. I think for lots of us, what really happens is we start to notice when it's really depleted, or when we're working way too hard, like we're expending gobs of energy. Well, see, that's a great litmus test. Because if you think about it, what we're going for is having this sense of limitless energy, right? A well that's always there for you to tap into. So being stuck, it really would start with acknowledging and getting really straight with yourself about what's really happening with your energy level, right? Where are you accepting that it's normal to be depleted, or it's normal to have to be the one who works so hard? And when you do that, you're going to start to feel all those human feelings that we tend to want to avoid. You can even consider that that's part of the reason we've gotten stuck, right? Is because we're somewhere, someplace inside of us, we're avoiding those human feelings that we don't like. I think another reason we tend to get stuck is we get afraid and attached about something, and then we get kind of rigid and stubborn about it. So usually when we're stuck, we are also actually, right, we're rigid, and we don't want to see the world any other way than the way we're seeing it, even if we're suffering, even if we don't like how it is. So being stuck, just the experience of it, is like a huge billboard on the highway. The self gets to notice, hey, my energy's draining over here, or I'm working way too hard, something's going on here. And it doesn't really bring flow in my life. There's got to be something to learn. You see, I am of the belief that we like to learn stuff. We'll learn through a book, right? There's some topic we'll do. But what we really don't do is learn in every minute of every single day experientially about ourselves. We might do it if we go to a retreat, right? Or we go to some workshop or some conference. Right? Because there we're there, we say, oh, I'm here to learn. But really the greatest learning lives inside of ourselves and is available to us through these moments I'm trying to talk about. So you can get stuck in being annoyed and frustrated in life. You can get stuck in a money thing. Like, being stuck is a state of being, and it's usually accompanied by an incredible amount of powerlessness, helplessness, frustration, rigidity, and stubbornness. I think we could make them into like super anti-heroes, right? And they could have them on their t-shirts. So do you notice when you feel resistance? Do you notice what it actually feels like in the body? Do you recognize this rigidity and helplessness I'm talking about? So in this moment, just to help you kind of drop in, picture yourself wrapped in a blanket. And it's tight enough that you can move your arms, but you can't get them free. While you're in there, feel the softness of the blanket. Feel the fabric against your skin. And feel it as it's wrapped around you. But simultaneously notice that you can't really move in the way that you like. So I really like to compare these physical experiences like wrapping in a blanket or driving in a car or emptying the trash and it all falling out on the ground. And then you have to pick up each piece. I love using real life scenarios like that, that I'm having a sensory experience of, to then compare it to an internal, like, being sense of things, of interactions, of my moments that I'm just going through life in myself, right? So the more you can take real life moments like the blanket and link it to the internal being experience, like helpless or rigid, where you are able to bring to life in a kind of visual, imaginary visual way, right? So that the inner experience that you're having is attached to this real life experience that you actually can notice, the more you're going to tap into the deeper experience that's going on with you. I hope that made sense. Basically, what I'm saying is you have to find ways to make real these inner core human being experiences through using the physical world that you make contact with. And of course, the more you do this, the closer you get to yourself as the power source of your life. You drop in deeper and deeper experientially because each emotion and each inner experience occurs differently at a sensory level. So when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about that, about this each emotion and each inner experience. All right, here's the number. I'm still waiting for somebody to call and tell me about life. Tell me about what you're dealing with, or tell me about where you're annoyed. The number is 202-570-7057.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Imagine yourself being transported to India, to the banks of the Ganga and an ashram in Rishikesh. Visualize that you are welcome to satsang with an American sannyasi who shares the wisdom of her guru. Your visualization has manifested. Join Satvi Bhagavati Saraswati for inspiration and transformation every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
If I could be you.
And you could be me. For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
You're listening to Sam Parado on Expedition Self, and we are talking right now about how important it is to be connected to the body and the experiential nature of what being is and life. So I want to just mention this. So the idea that each emotion has an inner experience that's different at a sensory level, right? So disappointment feels different than helplessness in your body. Or frustration feels different than annoyance. Powerlessness feels different than rigidity. And the more we can get good at feeling and sensing these differences, the more we can actually put them to use for ourselves. And when I say in the body, I'm talking about in the stomach, across the shoulders, in the feet, the tension of the hips, the way our hands are tight, the tension around our mouths, like all these emotions, they show up somewhere. Because if we can get in touch with them, they become an added helper when you're navigating, right? The hours and the days, they help you stop being kind of in a routine, a habit of just going through the day. They begin to have you say, no, this is a moment. This is a moment where I'm alive. This is a moment where I can feel myself. They help you know what's happening for you. So you actually have more choices because you're living life on a more momentary basis by being in touch to yourself. And so this is what I mean by getting good at being, right? It really chocks the day full of self-information. It really gives you an opportunity to experience life a tuned up life, right? This paying attention and noticing it brings you deeper and deeper into yourself. And then you don't have to be like that ball on one of those paddles, you know, that's attached, like life being the paddle and you being the ball, right? Bum, bum, bum. See, this is why I said earlier in the show that the flashlight on the self is so incredibly impactful in your self-development process. It's because you eventually get so good at maintaining and searching for this deeper understanding about yourself and connecting it experientially, right? That you understand what these words really mean in your body, that you also then amass more of your own power because you'll operate so much closer to the source of who you are, right? Rather than a bunch of ideas, you're actually walking in it. How to operate closer to the source of yourself. And the only way to do that, right, is to stop giving all that attention, power, and energy to what's happening outside of you other than as a prompt, right, or a trigger to go inside. You know, it's like the outside world can be useful to highlight or help you notice that you're feeling something, but then you have to have the ability and the desire to turn all of that back in towards the true source of your power, which is your deepest, most profound sense and connection to yourself. Okay, let's talk about another area of life that I think we have a tendency to never really get through or not get through with our process. And that's about wanting more from people than you get. I think it's super common. We feel like we're giving more than we get. We're wanting help and others just don't seem to offer it. So what is this dynamic about? If you think about how we talked about money, there's some flow here that doesn't quite feel balanced. Like if you feel like you're giving more than you're getting, then there's something about how you receive or how you ask for what you want, or even maybe how you hold deep feelings about entitlement and expectation. There may be a place where your growing up like trained you to not expect anyone to be there or to get help, or maybe even when you got help, it came at a cost, a too high cost. You see, what we want to look at is what's really going on for you. And how did you come to this place? And what is the pattern that you're dealing with? Right? And of course, there's lots of lessons to learn about being human and how to make life work for us and what we're trying to understand. So this idea of I give more than I get, it's a good time for me to talk about how we learn about these patterns. See, in the example I just talked about, I didn't even get that word out of my mouth right, about where you give more than you get, you might consider that you're learning about generosity and stinginess, or about giving and receiving. Or maybe you're learning about independence and dependence. There are polarities when we're working with this particular theme, but the key is to see it as a learning rather than get stuck in that. Everything is annoying and frustrating, or you could also feel like a powerless victim who's always sacrificing for everybody else. A long time ago, I noticed this pattern in my life, and it had to do with taking risks, with like saying hard things to try to better family relationships. And I noticed that I would get in the middle of these situations and I'd be the only one who looked bad. No one would jump in and add to the conversation. And by the time it was done, they'd actually be judgmental of me for doing it and annoyed with me, right? Wow, did I feel like the sacrificial lamb. So I had to look at what was really running me and having me get in the middle of these situations. Like, why would I charge up the hill thinking everyone was behind me? And then only to look around and see that I was the only one on that hill taking on that battle. See, I got to see that I was working out this idea. I was proving to myself that I was strong, and I was trying to live up to some idea that I had about what being a warrior looked like. And I had it wired that I was doing it really for the family. And so to some extent, there was some of that, but underneath, I was very much in a battle within myself, trying to make something right from a long time ago and not really making sure that the other people had an equal stake in the outcome. So this is that thing, I give more than I get. It's got lots of faces. right? This pattern, it has provided lifelong learning for me. I still work it, right? Because it doesn't, all of a sudden I can find myself charging up another hill. You know, I get caught inside of trying to deliver something that matters to me. And then I forget that others may or may not be invested in the same thing. Lots of disappointment comes with this and annoyance. If I don't keep that darn flashlight on myself and really maintain a vigilance about this is me and I am the source of this stuff, then before I know it, I'm kind of off my game. I'm off my self-development game. See, getting clear on your learning themes and seeing these patterns, especially around giving more than you get, it's truly a huge leverage point if you're trying to transform your life. These patterns, they come from noticing where you're annoyed or frustrated or disappointed or rigid and stubborn or stuck. And it's like these human moments are telling you, hey, there's growth here. Come and get it. So it's important to look at that area of your life. You know, you can tell as I'm going through today, I'm trying to give you some areas, some domains, some aspects of being human that I think we generally don't talk about. So all of this leads to how we find the essence of who we really are. You can see that the more you bring your focus inward and the more you can welcome feelings, then the more you look for the deeper being experience and patterns that are found at the center of you. It means you must be getting closer to the essence of who you are. So what is this essence of you? Well, it's not really personality, but it infuses it. It's not your feelings, because those are like the water that you float and swim in. No, your essence isn't your actions or how you handle life, but it definitely provides input. I think the thing about finding your essence is that it isn't exactly findable. Now, I'm going to say that again. I think the thing about finding your essence is that it isn't exactly findable. It's not something that's black and white. It has an ethereal nature, and it's present inside of every moment of your life. But it's kind of elusive, because the more you try to pin it down, the more you can lose it. And I think when you get small tastes of your essence, there's a way that you say to yourself, that's me. That's me. And there's a sense of aliveness and being that's not as present when it's missing. I think some probably describe it as presence. All right, well, we've got a caller, and I'm going to come back to this essence conversation after we talk to Diane. What are your tidbits about life that you'd like to share with us?
Well, and first
welcome
of all,
back, by the way.
Pardon me?
Welcome back.
Oh, thank you so much. So this is just really a question. You certainly got my attention. This is just a really interesting topic that you're talking about today. And you really got my attention when you were charging up the hill, knowing that you really wanted to make a difference, and yet you ended up feeling like you were the bad guy, that nobody was really interested in changing their life. So my question is how do you set the stage to find out, are they interested? Do they care? How do you start that conversation when they don't have a clue about how they have reacted, or maybe the thing that is bothering me, they just sloughed it off and it was no big deal. And I'll stop right there.
Okay. Well, it's interesting because you actually, the way you describe it, there's a lot of flashlight on them, not you, in that example.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
When you say, where do you start? Well, you start by getting in touch with what's really going on with you. So I heard you at the end say, listen, something bothered me there, or they're not aware of it. But mm-hmm. I would be looking at what is it that's got you charged up that you're wanting to have something be different with other people. Because if you don't drop deeper and deeper into that as a foundational place, then you're really, mm-hmm. your flashlight's on them. You're trying to adjust them rather than actually use it as a learning experience for you.
So would I keep it in an I statement if it is?
For sure.
Okay.
For
so
sure.
It
and
would
not
be
only would
like
you keep it, you'd be looking to see more and more about what's really driving you or what's really running the show. What has you, in my case, what had me charging up the hill about that? Do you remember when I said I was trying to prove to myself I was strong because underneath it all, I felt weak. So it's that getting underneath there that really gets you started.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. It's nice to hear from you again.
Bye-bye.
Hi. So, okay, we were talking about this idea of essence. So the essence of you, it isn't a good quality or a bad quality. It's more like your take on the world and the things only you will notice if you're at a party. It's not driven by the intellect. It's more like the butterfly that lives in your heart, and it leads you towards what most intrigues you. Your essence is your capacity to be with life, how you do that, and the quality that you bring to the moments of each day. I like to think of essence as the feel of things, delicate or with heft, intense or light, constructing or infusing. You know, what is the quality with which you go through life? Actually, Diane, I'd add this to what you were thinking about, which is, what is the essence of what's going on for you in that example with those other people? Essence is not your ambition or your needs or your psychological come from that resulted from your childhood. It's the place you emanate from and the quality with which you do it. So when you get to experience it through some moment or situation, you know you feel it because it seeps through that moment with an energy that isn't present at other times. And sometimes you'll experience the essence of you during great times of stress. It shows up as knowing, like a knowing or fueling the ability to take action that you know you must take. The essence of you can emerge when you most need it. And at some level, I believe it's always looking out for an outlet to the surface of you. So in that way, it's always guiding and shaping how you grow from the inside out. See, being able to have a dynamic and active relationship where you're able to clear the path for the essence of you to add to your life is a big reason to do growth work because it yields awesome results. Okay, one more piece I'm going to talk about, which is loss. So this is such a real part of life, right? We experience loss with each and every change we make. We experience loss when we move from one stage of life to the next. You know, we experience very real loss when something or someone is removed from our life. Like, loss is such a big part of being human. We actually experience it even when we end one day and move on to the next, or when our children grow up, or when we grow up. It happens when we think we're happy and then feel sad. It shows up when relationships we perceived worked in a certain way all of a sudden change, and now we're left trying to deal with what happened. So loss is an incredibly uncomfortable in the body. And it's like dealing with an entirely different galaxy than our feelings. Because if we really drop it into it, it can feel overwhelming and take all the energy, suck the energy right out of us. Which is why I think for most of us, we're either working to avoid experiencing loss or we're trying to run from the loss we already went through. So in growth work, you're really not going to like this. But the key is to go towards it. Because the more you go towards loss and understanding it, the more ability and capacity you have to allow it to simply be there. You get better at processing through it, so it's less debilitating, and you understand more of it. And when that happens, you totally grow your human being self. Loss is one of those things that we can't really reconcile. It doesn't really make sense. And I think it even feels unloving. But if we ponder, right, because pondering it for a long time, there's really no way to get to the bottom of it. So I have more I would share with you today because I think there's a lot to see around these pockets of being, pockets of human experience. But just as a wrap up to the loss is what I do know about truly being with loss and learning to work with that massive experience that goes with it is that it opens the door to empathy. And empathy is a whole nother area where we can get in and start talking about. So, okay, I want to move forward. I have a whole bunch of more stuff. I think I'm going to have another Bits of Life show to pick up on these other pieces that I didn't quite get to. So I'm going to try to get down here to the poems. Yeah. All right. So I have a poem from The Little Prince. Now I'm going to say his name, Antoine de Saint-Exupéry. I'm not sure I said his name right. So here we go. It's madness to hate all roses because you got scratched with one thorn. To give up all dreams because one of them didn't come true. To give up all attempts because one of them failed. It's folly to condemn all your friends because one has betrayed you. To no longer believe in love just because someone was unfaithful or didn't love you back. To throw away all your chances to be happy because something went wrong. There will always be another opportunity, another friend, another love, a new strength. For every end, there was always a new beginning. And now here is my secret, a very simple secret. It is only with the heart that one can see rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye. Thank you so much for sharing the show with me today. I hope you have an awesome week and you spend a little extra time going inside and learning about you.